Dun, 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 dun.
Boom, boom.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to season four, The Wicked Years. I'm Tara.
And I'm MK. And we are your hosts of Down the Yellow Brick Pod, a Technicolor Pod Squad community devoted to preserving and peeling back the curtain on the wonderful world of Oz.
This season, though, we have developed an allergy for water, but definitely not one for high broom belting, because we are deep diving with Gregory Maguire's 1995 revisionist exploration, unveiling a corrupt land of Oz in Wicked, the life and times of the Wicked Witch of the West, including the subsequent series to follow, and of course...
The 2003 blockbuster Broadway musical of the same name, currently being adapted into a two-part film for release in November 2024. Do you know about it?
Consider this your Green Girl prerequisite course to soothe the long, long waits.
Off the pod, feel free to follow our Insta at Down the Yellow Brick Pod for a visual companion, as well as our Patreon Pod Squad, where we continue the escapism and entertainment with a range of bonus content, including exclusive episodes, musical covers, monthly hangs, and behind-the-scenes vlogs.
As a community-funded podcast, our patrons are truly our backbone, our people, so consider joining our rainbow of a pod squad today. More perks and live events coming soon. Patrons are the first to know.
Now, may the world of Oz continue to be a bewitching escape in bewildering years, nostalgic and nuanced, and a magical refuge where two gals living in New York City can defy gravity with wonders like you.
Ain't no one gonna bring us down, baby. Hey, MK.
Hey, Tara.
Did you know listeners. Wicked was being made into a two-part movie?
What?
How, did
this
you
is
know?
Good news. I did
this
not know.
This is really good news. I can't believe we're at our final Wicked topic for the season, which of course
my gosh.
Is the highly anticipated two-part film that is coming out in 2024 for part one and part two in 2025, Thanksgiving
we're almost
times.
There. We're under a year.
Under a
for
year.
Part one.
We've made it. Like, this is, I mean,
been
the whole,
about
like,
this.
All the leaks and everything came out this whole entire season. So we've been following that, but not really commentating on any of that. So here's our moment to commentate.
This is our moment to commentate. I'm
and
excited.
Commiserate. I'm not commiserate. I feel good about all this.
Congratulate.
Congratulate. Yes.
Congratulationate.
And talk about, I guess, our feelings on the film and all that good stuff. I'm really pumped.
I'm
I mean,
so
I think I made
excited.
That clear.
Yeah.
Me too. I think
I'm just glad it's like we're getting closer, because I know that when it was first announced, it felt so far away. And that's something we've shared about. Like, I think this was announced when we first lived together. Tara would say things like, I might not be around. I might not make it.
I don't know. It's too
two,
far.
3 years. And I was like, Tara, stop it. But it has felt very far away.
I think I told you we can get into it when we get to the official announcement of 2021.
Oh, yeah.
The girls being cast.
I remember.
I think
that
I told you. I made you guess, and you were like, "You."
No,
I think you guessed one right, but you. Oh, wait, we'll remind ourselves.
No, we'll talk about it.
Okay, I remember, but don't remember. Okay, perfect.
Yes, well, that was a good moment.
Let's get into it, my friends. Okay, so we have
let's
the help of Wikipedia, the Oz vlogs.
Yes, thank
beautiful. You. Yeah, Tori, giving you a huge shout out. She has done such a good job of pretty much commentating on any article, any news coming out about Wicked. So I literally said, here we go. I put my finger on Tori's TikTok and said, scroll back, baby. And I think it took about 5 minutes to get all the way back to like the witches being announced. Like, it took that long to get back to that. So I was like, let me go. Because I know she's been so thorough. And I was like, I want to enjoy Tori's presentation.
She's got content.
So yeah, Tori's got the content. Go there.
We will link her. We'll do an ad in this episode.
This is an ad. This is an ad to go there.
Yeah, this is a free ad.
Okay. So here we are at the Wicked film. So what we know about the Wicked film, we know it's going to be in two parts. And we're going to talk about when that decision was made in a minute. But we know it's an upcoming musical fantasy film. It's going to be directed by John M. Chu. And that was not always the case. We'll rewind in a second. And the screenplay is going to be by Winnie, our girl, Winnie Hulsman, and Stephen Schwartz, our composer.
Yay.
So book writer and composer united again. We know that this has been pushed back several times. So let's go back. Let's rewind a bit, shall we? So in 2012, Universal Pictures announced the film's development with Mark Platt as a producer. So there was a long development process. There were so many delays, and a lot of that was caused, of course, by the COVID-19 pandemic. But we will eventually get to John M. Chu coming into the picture and then the eventual casting of Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande in the roles of Elphaba and Glinda. So let's go back, though, to just remind everybody about the Wicked 2 film adaptation history. So the musical itself is produced by Universal Pictures. It was initially going to be a film. So just rewinding our brains all the way back to when Stephen Schwartz was like, I got to make this book into a musical. He had to go to Universal to get the rights. So he actually was able to convince Ben Platt's dad, Mark Platt, bring it back to him, who's going to be the producer of this Demi Moore movie, this
version
of Wicked.
Right? Demi Moore is there.
But he was able to convince that, you know what, this should be a musical. You should pivot, leave this film project that was already in motion. So they had writers, I think, attached, no cast or anything like that, but writers attached. So in a 2009 interview, sometime after Wicked, the musical has opened and is, of course, highly successful, McGuire, our author of the Wicked book, Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West, he stated that he had sold the rights to ABC to make an independent non-musical TV adaptation of Wicked. Okay, so that's interesting. It would not be based on Holtzman's script. On January 9th, 2011, it was reported by Entertainment Weekly that ABC would be teaming up with Selma Hayek, Welcome, and her production company to create a TV miniseries of Wicked based solely on the McGuire novel. And then there was no further information kind of from that point, and nothing else more was revealed. So obviously, this is about 15 years ago. Yeah, this has been a minute since this has happened. So
interesting.
That, of course, never amounted to anything. I even remember when we were doing our Once Upon a Time deep dive over on our Patreon, there were even like some articles we were finding of Elphaba being used as opposed to the Wicked Witch of the West character they made up, Selena, that they were maybe going to use Elphaba. There was rumors of that. Nothing was confirmed, denied, but that's ABC, you know, so that was the people who had the rights.
Elphaba in Disney.
I mean, Elphaba with Elsa. That's what would have happened.
Stop it. They could have been like, Idina, will you play both?
Like, that's what would have happened, though, because that did happen on Once Upon a Time. So,
oh my gosh.
I don't know. If anyone knows more about that, like if that was an actual thing they were considering, maybe Gregory McGuire was the one to stop it. Maybe he didn't want that happening. I have no idea. I just know that there were rumors that it could have potentially happened. So just putting that out there. And this is around the time when Once Upon a Time is being developed. That would debut maybe a year after this. Okay. So now we get into the musical film. It's going to happen, okay? So there's a lot of rumors about who would play the witches already, like, in a film. So, of course, like, Kristen and Idina are being rumored right away. And we know that even, like, Idina left Wicked to go play Maureen in the Rent movie. That was a big part of the reason of why she left when she left. So it's not out of the question to go for these girls to come back and play these roles after 5-6 years. It's not been in a tremendous amount of time. Then there's rumors that Lea Michele and Amy Adams were going to be playing the leads. I don't think I ever knew of those rumors. Welcome, Lea. J.J. Abrams, Rob Marshall, James Mangold, and Ryan Murphy are also like in the rumor mill of potential directors.
Ooh, I'm here for Ryan Murphy. Be fun.
That's an interesting version of Wicked, I think, Ryan Murphy. But now we also have to remember, too, in December 2012, this would be following the success of Les Mis, which was a Universal produced. They were really wanting to keep that momentum going and announce another big musical. And they were starting to put things out there that this film, Wicked, was going to go ahead. They were going to aim for a 2016 release. And then after long development, Universal announced in 2017, because obviously no film came out in 2016, that the film would be released in theaters on December 20th, 2019, with Stephen Daldry directing. Em, do you know anything about Stephen Daldry?
I do not.
I had to look him up, but then you're going to know. You're going to know things. He's okay. Actually the director of one of my favorite movies. He directed Billy Elliot.
The Godfather. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, no, not The Godfather. but he directed Billy Elliot, which is one of my favorites. Oh, I used to watch that all the time, that film from 2000. He also directed The Hours, huge film. He's a big part of The Crown, which is on Netflix right now.
The Crown.
Yeah, seasons. The seasons that aired 2016 through 2020. He's currently now working on a play based on Stranger Things. Yeah, there was a big article released in June of 2016 announcing his attachment to the film.
Ooh.
It says it will put Wicked in direct competition with a yet-to-be-revealed live-action fairy tale movie from Disney. Stephen Daldry has long been set to direct Wicked for producer Mark Platt and Universal. And that's pretty much it. We know all the other information that's in this article. And it also notes that the production grosses of Wicked on Broadway crossed the $1 billion mark. So this is all the way back in 2016. Okay, so that's that announcement. That's all we pretty much have to go with. And then, okay, here we go. We have some more information coming out. So in 2017, Schwartz stated that the film would feature at least, in quotes, two new songs. And then we find out a year later, in August, that Universal is going to put the film on hold due to production scheduling, and they're going to actually give the film release of Cats that adaptation, they're gonna focus on that. Then on February 8th, 2019,
did you see Cats?
I could not. I couldn't even I could not stomach the CGI. I couldn't do it. It like it made me want to vomit, like what it looked like.
Oh my god.
The aesthetic was not for me. Not for me.
I saw it with our Patreon Andreas in
a fever dream.
I think it was like his second or third time seeing it. It was fun. I mean, it has our girl Tay Tay. I can
so wild.
Yeah, some of the CGI was interesting, but it was also it was a good time. What a, I mean, also a fever
Judy
dream.
Dench.
Judy Dench is a freaking cat. Like, I'm here for it. The world is weird. Do it.
The world is weird. It's
the world
true.
Is the world weird, is weird. But I love I that just, Cats is coming up in this conversation about.
Listen,
Wicked.
I just watched a documentary called Mother God on HBO. The world is weird.
Which. Weird little Wicked connection. I listened to Las Culturistas with Bowen Yang, who is going to come up in our research, and Matt Rogers.
It?
The name of today's episode, as you were memoing me about Mother God, is Mother God. It came up on my phone. Las Culturistas, Mother God. He talked all about it. Bowen.
It's you cannot.
Bowen is
it.
You in this episode, and Matt is me, because Matt is like, I'm not doing this. I can't watch this. This is a horror film. And Bowen's like, I hate it, but I have to watch it.
I cannot see what I saw.
That's what he said. He said it's going to haunt my dreams.
It's so, it literally will haunt me because people have chosen this path. So I highly support Cats happening over Mother God, though. Like over crazy cults based
if we have to like rank, if we're ranking things.
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams is involved.
Yeah, he's involved. And so is Carol Burnett. I was like, leave her out of this.
What?
She's a part of this galactic group. I can't even. Guys, I thought I've seen it all. Like, I've watched a lot of cult documentaries because I'm very fascinated by cults. I think you picked this
up on me. She loves her cults.
I'm someone who loves community, but oftentimes, like, tight-knit communities come, like, there's, like, a really blurry line that it starts to get cultish and, like, you know, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's all interesting, like, when egos and community clash. I think this is what happens. And money too, right? Like a lot of these
this happens with churches. It happens, yeah. Anytime.
So I'm fascinated. And I think any human who has maybe been through something and is looking for some sort of belonging is susceptible. I think all of us are susceptible to this. And all of us can also go down these crazy paths if we let ourselves. Like I really do feel that. So it's just wild. Yeah. But this one, like going back to what I just said, not to fall down a completely opposite of Wicked rabbit, but going back to what I just said, though, I cannot unsee what I saw. I will forever think about this documentary.
No.
It is the most wild, nonsensical thing. I was telling Em, like, a police officer, I don't even know how he did it, like interviewing one of the members after there's like a whole thing that is revealed of what happens to the leader, Mother God herself. And he's interviewing a member and he's like, yes, I understand the fifth dimension. And yes, I understand that this is a portal.
Sure, he's trying. Yeah.
He's trying
to communicate. Yeah.
They say that we're living, they criticize us, the Mother God people, that we live in a 3D world. They call us the 3D world. They live in the 5D world.
Well, I also heard from Bowen. I heard from Bowen Yang. So
I got to listen.
Bowen, you're involved. He said that it started kind of because she, what drug did she take?
I can't even. She's on so many drugs.
She took a drug. She wasn't a part of this belief that she is God until she took this drug. Something. Yes. No, I'm simplifying it. But that's her belief.
They're literally looking at clouds and saying they're spaceships. Yeah, like they think clouds are spaceships and stuff. Like there's so much because they're on drugs. Well, here's the thing. Yeah. It's like, you know how we do like what made something happen? We did this with how Wicked was even born. All the different things that had to stir together to make it. For Mother God, this cult, to make this woman, what needed to stir together was years of being broken by men in abusive relationships. Yep, years of that. Not feeling a sense of belonging, turning to the internet, the new age conspiracy theory land that can really, I think, take over someone's brain, and then drugs. It was like that was her pot.
The
it
mixture.
Was drugs. Yes. And like the internet, that whole like scary place that exists that pretty much rejects mainstream completely, but like as like it just kind of, you know, like is saying like everything's a lie from mainstream culture. Which that's dangerous. Sure. That's dangerous beyond belief.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, welcome, Mother God. Okay.
Welcome to the pod.
God is a woman, Ariana Grande.
Okay, I'll link the episode.
We're back. Okay. Wait.
We're back.
So cats.
Listeners.
What God is there? Cats. So, you know, cats is Jellicle Ball over Ozzfest Ballroom gets to happen. On the silver screen. On February 8th, 2019, I think this is what I was saying, Universal announced a new release date of December 22nd, 2021 for the Wicked film. Then on April 1st, 2020, Universal put the film on hold once again due to Universal shifting release dates. It's kind of in this like release date purgatory because of COVID now. And then they pushed forward Sing 2. I don't even know Sing 1. Sing 2. 2021.
All I know is I did see Sing 1. Tori Kelly is the voice of an elephant, I think. That's all I really know.
I know. And I saw the trailers. It's like all I can tell you. I don't know what it's about.
It's cute. It's cute.
And this is when we find out that Daldry is actually going to leave because of scheduling conflicts. He's going to unattach himself in October 2020. And then here we go on February 2nd, 2021, it's announced that John M. Chu will take over as director. This is very exciting because he was also right at this time working on the release of In the Heights. We're going to get to see a musical of his. And he's such a musical guy. This blew my mind. One of his first projects he did was with Todrick Hall of Straight Out of Oz
Connections
for Virgin America. He was the director behind the whole safety video.
No, that Todrick I'm obsessed wrote the music with that.
For. Me too. I'm obsessed with it too. It's from 2013.
I watched it so many times.
Airlines. Yeah, it's so great. It played on that for about 5 years before I think Virgin Airlines merged or was bought out by another airline. Yeah. I think Alaska Airlines took it.
I know. They're like not so around. That, yeah.
But that's crazy, right? Todrick Hall connection.
I'm obsessed with that.
Another Oz person.
For some reason, the year that came out, I flew Virgin all the time because I would wait. I'd be like, here it is. I'm so excited. I love that John M. Chu is involved.
Well, let's talk first about what he released to the world to tell us about him being chosen. It's very, very exciting. Then we'll get a little bit into John M. Chu. I fell down a bit of a rabbit hole with him and just his love for musicals. It's very exciting. I have not yet seen Crazy Rich Asians, but that's on my list. I really want to see all of his stuff so I can prep myself.
Apparently, I'm a big fan of his without even knowing, because Crazy Rich Asians, I have seen. That's like a comfort movie that I just put on.
Oh,
I'm obsessed with it. I think I have it memorized. I love it. I've read all the books too.
That.
Oh, it's so good.
I don't know Crazy Rich Asians at all, but
I think you will really like it. And Michelle Yeoh is in it too.
God,
and In the Heights was great.
I love her. Yeah. She can do no wrong. She's someone that I'm like, she's like a Meryl Streep to me. I'm like, put her in anything.
She is an icon, legend.
She's on
Armada Morrible.
Yeah. I mean, look at this world. This is such a cool, wicked world that's being like all these different people coming together. It's so exciting. Okay. So Jot M. Schultz, let's give him his roses because he deserves them. So this was his announcement. Most of my life, I have felt out of place, weird, and different. This is on his Twitter. I hid behind my camera because people liked to be filmed and I could disappear. I used my short films to wow people so I could feel valued. I felt green in all the ways. But when I saw Stephen Schwartz and Winnie Holzman's Wicked over 15 years ago as it was being workshopped in San Francisco, so he was there at the San Fran out-of-town tryouts, I couldn't unsee it, much like I couldn't unsee Mother God last night.
Don't make that connection.
Much like that. So, also, though, Mother God is crying to be a musical. So if someone wants to adapt it, please. Like, you have source material. Sarah,
should
you
play?
Just run.
Should you play her?
Mother God, I can do it. Listen, I can play Crazy White Ladies any day, anytime.
Any day.
Bring them my way. Anytime, anytime. Okay.
All right, it's
happening. So to think that I have been invited to bring this timeless story to the biggest screens all around the world for people to experience with their family, best friends, and total strangers, all of all walks of life, ages, shapes, and colors, is like I've been invited to Oz by the wizard himself. Thank you, Mark Platt, Stephen, Winnie, and Universal Pictures for trusting in me to translate this incredible story for all the fans and future fans of Elphaba and Glinda. I will protect this vigorously and hopefully bring a few new surprises along the way. And he also teased after that, so who wants to be Elphaba and Glinda? Question mark. He also did another, he did a lyric quote as well. I think he said the too late for second guessing, too late to go back to sleep.
He's so cute
with it. And he also again said, Twitterverse, who should we cast? He literally just put this out to the monsters to run rampant with.
Playing with fire.
Playing with fire.
I love it.
Yeah. So I just fell down a little rabbit hole with him. But Em, is there anything you want to share about Jon M. Chu before I share this, just the stuff that like made me very, I'm just so excited that he is the director. Like it feels perfect.
Yeah, it does feel right. I mean, yeah, I'm a big fan of Crazy Rich Asians. It's so fun. And there are just like lavish, beautiful scenes. I don't really think I'm trying to remember any like music.
He's a musical guy though.
Yes, there is a beautiful, okay. I don't want to spoil it, but there's a beautiful musical scene that I'm obsessed with in that film. Incredible. Okay. I'm also a big fan of, he apparently directed the live concert films Justin Bieber Never Say Never.
Yes.
2011, which I also saw in theaters and cried. So everything he does, I've seen without like knowing it was his.
Step Up 2? Have you seen Step Up 2? I kind of want to,
I have not.
I actually want to have like a day and sit down and watch like all the Step Ups.
I mean, let's watch Step Up. Let's watch In the Heights. Let's watch Justin Bieber. Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh my gosh. This was like his training grounds before Crazy Rich Asians came about. He did all these like definitely like it's all music concert-esque style direction projects that he's doing.
So fun. I also love that he's a Cali boy. Get it.
He is a Cali boy. I looked up, his parents own a restaurant. I believe it's called,
should we go?
Chef Chu's. Yeah, I want to go. I don't think we can afford it. It's a little pricey.
Okay.
I looked at the menu today. So I was like, wow, this is so cool.
Of course you did.
I was like, this is how far my rabbit hole went. I sent him a video
down.
I was like with Ariana Grande in her red dress singing Beauty and the Beast for the remake. I was like, here I am.
Who'd she sing that with?
John
Legend.
She sang
it with somebody, right? Yeah, John Legend.
Yes. Who's like, sang with Cynthia a million times. Like, I feel like I've heard their voices together.
Probably.
So that's a whole other thing. We haven't even gotten there. I have to slow my roll. That's too much for this moment. Okay.
We're getting ahead.
Just a little bit about Jon M. Chu. So he is an American film director, producer, and screenwriter. What is amazing about his 2018 big big success in 2018, Crazy Rich Asians, is that it's the first film by a major Hollywood studio to feature a majority cast of Asian descent in a modern setting since The Joy Luck Club in 1993. That is pretty
amazing.
That
was a big deal.
Yeah. As you said, he grew up in California. He's the youngest of five children. chef choose. Get it, parents. That's amazing. He went to school for film and television. He won like every award under the sun in his college career. He made a short that I think Spielberg became a fan of. So he was just pitched to like the top agencies right away. The short was called When the Kids Are Away, and it is a musical. Like, it definitely is a musical. You can't see the full thing. I think he posted a trailer for it that is on YouTube, so you can watch that. But it's like all these moms, like what they do when their kids go away and one kid stays behind to find out. But basically they're like in a musical. Like, they're like all getting over each other's houses. They're singing, they're dancing. It's really, really cool. But at first he had a lot of projects that he was handed, like from Sony, he was given Bye Bye Birdie. I want to say like 2010-ish time, he was given that, and it never got greenlit. Like, this is kind of the beginning of his career. Great Gatsby, they were hoping to do, but that didn't happen because Warner Brothers would purchase the rights, and then they would have that 2013 film. This is in 2013, he would do that pre-flight safety video for Virgin America, which is so fun. So from 2008 to 2016, this is when he's doing Step Up to the Streets, Step Up 3D. Don't live in the 3D world, though, according to Mother God. I'm just going to keep bringing it back. 2013, G.I. Joe, Retaliation. 2015, Gem and the Holograms. 2016, Ooh. Now You See Me Too. So these are the films that he's a part of. He's also like working on a Play-Doh movie that feels like a Barbie version of a Play-Doh movie. I don't know what that's going to be. He's Sounds attached great. To that. A Dr. Seuss movie of Oh, the Places You'll Go. He has some other big projects also in the works right now.
He did Beauty and the Beast, the 30th celebration. Yes,
he did the 30th anniversary of Beauty and the Beast with Josh Groban. That's pretty cool television.
Oh, he was the producer. Sorry, he didn't direct it. It said, yeah, he's executive producer, but not director.
On Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you for clarifying that. So I'm going to just go to an article that talks about his love for musicals, because that's what I want to know. Like, where did this all begin? Because he loves dancers. That has always been apparent too. And like the work that he does, he just loves to highlight dancers, loves to work with them. So I'm like, where did this come from? I want to know. So this is from an article, director John M. Chu on his movie musical inspirations for In the Heights, June 1st, 2021. He said, Lin is like, gave him like a template for how to do it, like how to listen to lyrics and really interpret them in new and exciting ways. Talks about that at the beginning of this article. But now to go back to his past, music and dance were always a part of John Chu's life. He grew up seeing shows with his family, the Nutcracker being one of his first live experiences. He even took private tap lessons for 12 years and showed off his fancy footwork to his wife for the first time at their wedding. In 1991, when she was in fifth grade, he made his professional debut in an all-Asian production of Stephen Sondheim's Pacific Overtures at the San Jose Civic Light Opera, which is now the American Musical Theater of San Jose. And he said during one of the performances, he skipped a verse and the orchestra's conductor started freaking out and he had to make up words to fix his error. But he just realized in this moment, I don't want to do this. Like, this isn't how I want to connect to musical theater. I'm not made for this. Like, if I go up on lyrics, this is awful. And I understand that. I've done that before. But he channeled his passion for musical theater differently. He wanted to start directing. I also read somewhere, this isn't in this article, that he got a camera from his parents young as like a holiday or birthday gift. And he just really like started crafting so much with that, making home videos, making his siblings star in different scenes. And he just went running with it. So for In the Heights, Chu looked to source material for some of his favorite movie musicals. Meet Me in St. Louis inspired him with themes about what you make of home and about community. Royal Wedding, one of my favorites, 1951 film starring Fred Astaire and Jane Powell, inspired the scene in the Heights that has the whole building flipped on its side.
I freaking love that.
He got that
scene
from there. He was also heavily inspired by Esther Williams in Million Dollar Mermaid and Singing in the Rain. He credits 1937's Shall We Dance with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers as an inspiration for the scene where Nina and Benny are on a park bench doing something that was almost classic, and yet with a neighborhood full of people you never would have seen in those musicals. He even drew from Andrew Lloyd Webber's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which he's supposed to also do a remake of that. That's a whole other thing. The fact that they can skip genres and they have permission to express whatever they want, we definitely wanted to create that sort of environment here. So it's pretty exciting. And it does say, like, as this movie musical hits theaters behind the scenes, Chu's already digging into the script of his next one, Wicked. He's in the early stages with playwright Winnie Holzman and composer Stephen Schwartz going over the 2003 Broadway musical line by line. Now, this is really cool. This delighted me. I probably shouldn't be saying this out loud because everyone will want to wish I recorded it, but we're literally going lyric by lyric. I'm asking him all stupid questions. Why did you write this? Where did this come from? What versions do you have of this? So I could really understand the source of why this stuff was put in. Because I know, as a fan, why I love certain lines and what moves me, but that's only going to do me so good. So I'm getting in there and learning where all the plumbing is. It's really delightful. Mm. At the time of this release of this article in earlier 2021, Chu said no changes have been implemented yet, and they are still a ways away from casting anyone. However, he loves hearing everyone's dream casting ideas. I've gotten calls. I've gotten videos. I've gotten so many that I just was like, I'm not going to talk about this. Give me a little bit to get everything else in order, and then we will go after that. So it says, before he defies gravity, it's lights up on Washington Heights. I love that.
Lights up on Washington Heights.
Oh, isn't that great? Like, I love how he's really like the plumbing. That's such a cool way to put it.
That's really cool. I'm grateful for him. Yeah.
I think he's the people's director. Like, I really think Oz is actually going to reflect a diversity I don't think we've ever seen in Oz before, too. Like, a true melting pot of different cultures. Because let's face it, up until this time, we've seen white Oz and we've seen black Oz. But, like, the immersion of worlds has happened in smaller things, but nothing as mainstream and as global as this is going to be, you know?
I mean, we did have the Australia-Asia tour. No, just kidding.
Oh, God. Please don't go back and listen to that. That was a sad moment.
Please forgive us. Please forgive us.
That was in our last episode of Wicked.
Yeah, that was our last episode. If you don't know what we're talking about, just don't worry about it. No, you're so right. This is the first time we're getting like a very broad, diverse community, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Love that. Yay.
Hey, listeners. If you are in the redecorating spirit and seeking a folky, whimsical print to reinvigorate or chicify a corner of your home, may our pod point you to Hannah Isabel Lewis, our illustrator and graphic artist friend based in South London, whose designs calm and speak straight to our storybook souls.
Hannah's playing card prints of our favorite witch duo in Oz are a mood for any Wicked and Oz fan. Most of Hannah's original designs are heavily influenced on classic stories with a witchy edge.
You can find Hannah at Hannah I. Lewis on socials, where she shares both her illustrations and film work, and at hannahisabellewis.com to buy prints. Please see links in our show notes.
So why don't we fast forward to November 2021? This is the casting announcement of our witches comes out.
My Lord.
From what we have both heard, everyone under the sun did make a video for Elphaba.
Everyone.
Like literally everyone.
A lot of people.
Who did you think it was going to be on? Like who did you have in your... dream casting. I know we were asked several times, like when we did interviews at the time.
Heard,
I can't remember what I said.
I remember the rumor was Dove Cameron for Glinda for a while because she plays Kristen Chenoweth's daughter in, is it The Descendants? That whole like series.
Yes. And she was Amber with her in the hairspray.
She's Amber. Kristen is her idol. I know they're super tight. She would be a really great Glinda. So I know she, she's great. She's now opening for Taylor on her tour, so that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, fierce. And then I know Amanda Seyfried, was really, really gunning for this.
Yeah.
She made a video. She, talked about it in a Hollywood Reporter article. She, I think talked to Mark Platt. Like, it was a big thing that she was like, I've been preparing for this. I want to do this. So I know there was rumors of her. As for Elphaba...
I feel like she could play Glinda's mom. Like, I know that sounds awful because she's older. She's older than me. I think she's older than I am because Mean Girls came out when I was age appropriate for that film. Mean Girls, all those girls were older.
She's 38.
Yeah. not that it's a little, she's too young to play like a mother situation, but if they did any flashback scenes, that would be so cool to see her in like that kind of a realm.
I mean, she is definitely giving Glinda energy for sure.
She always
does. Those are the two, she's definitely in that ballpark. Two main Glindas. Yeah. And she's done like all the movie musicals. Who did you think for Elphaba? I don't think I had any.
I heard a rumor that it was Jessie J was in consideration.
Oh, yeah, Jessie. Yes, Jessie J.
And I was like, I'm fine with that. That's an excellent choice.
That would have been amazing. Ariana DeBose, I know, was thrown out there.
Yes, we talked about that, yeah.
Jessie J would have been.
Someone wrote on our crazy good. In our comments when we posted a little bit about the Wicked PBS concert, I shared Rita Moreno and Ariana DeBose, that their dream casting was Ariana DeBose and Ashley Park as Glinda. I was like, interesting. That's a cool casting too. Oh my God. Ashley Park would be amazing too.
She would be so good. Amber Riley. Yes. Amber Riley as Elphaba. I could see Amber Riley.
I mean, it's so hard to cast.
Can we get like 10 different versions?
I know. Yeah. That's why these concerts are awesome.
So good.
Like, I love a concert that, like, what The Wicked in concert for PBS did do is like give all these people opportunities, which is so fun to see. There's oh God, it's such gold. There is a Funny Girl concert, I want to say from like early 2000s or late 90s. Julia Murney is actually a part of it, one of our favorite witches.
She doesn't remember it.
She does remember this one. This is too, this is the Lilias White, Don't Rain on My Parade concert.
Oh, it's a good one.
It's a good one. So yeah, that's a good one. Seeing those kinds of things are very exciting. But okay, yes. Here we are. Witch casting and reaction. So, Em, how did you find out?
Okay. Take you back to 2021. I'm in my room. I think we're living together, you and I. You're in the living room.
Definitely.
I think I come out, or you like yell at me to come out. Well, either one. Like, and I come out and you're like, they announced The Witches of the Wicked film. And I remember standing behind the couch and like grasping onto it to steady myself and give myself balance.
You did do that. I remember that.
I remember being like, who is it? What's happening?
You guessed one right.
I think I guessed Cynthia Erivo?
No. I think it was Ariana. I guessed Ariana. You freaked out when I told you. You freaked out when
I
told you it was Cynthia.
No, you're right. That's what it was. I was like, is it Ariana Grande? Because I think we had heard a lot of rumors about that. So yes. I was like, oh my gosh, yay! Abby, my sister, my Gen Z sister is going to be so excited. And then I don't think I had any idea about Cynthia.
You didn't.
I was just like, who is it? Who is it? And you were like, Cynthia Erivo. And I remember melting to the floor.
You passed out, yeah.
I screamed. I can't do it right now because my voice I have a little cold. But I screamed. I melted to the floor. And my eyes rolled to the back of my head. And you just started cackling. I was so excited because I mean, who doesn't? I freaking love Cynthia Erivo. I could cry talking about her because I think I've only seen her live once in The Color Purple, and that's one of the most I've cried times in my life ever. Like, there was snot all over my jacket.
I had snot everywhere.
It was disgusting.
That's my memory from that show. I saw it
by myself. Her voice, there is nothing like her voice.
What is the first solo she sings? It's like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun-dun. In Color Purple, it's something in that melody. When her voice came out for the first time, I literally got shivers all over my body. I've never experienced anything like
that.
She sung in Color Purple, I was like leaned in, and that was it. It was done for.
No, she has you in the palm of her hand.
Yeah,
and her acting is incredible. And
a subtle powerhouse. A subtle powerhouse.
And she's powerhouse is the right word. Yeah. So I was very, very excited and just cool to have. She's been in movies, like she's done stuff, and
she's
she is
an Academy Award
becoming,
nominee.
Yeah, she's becoming more of like a household name. But I think it's, you know, it's really cool. I mean, Ariana started out on Broadway too, but it's kind of different.
I saw them both on Broadway. I've seen them
God.
Both on
yeah.
Broadway.
Yeah,
isn't
well,
that crazy?
There we go. It's just cool to see someone who's like Broadway, West End. Fierce, like get this opportunity, you know, So I felt proud. I felt proud.
Right. Like, I think it's a nice, I mean, it also really makes sense that your alphabet is coming from probably, you know, like, I don't know. I want to make sure I word this carefully. Like, the alphabet is coming from the real, like, the ladder that has been climbed, right? Like, from thing to thing to thing from her. Ariana is coming from, like, a Glinda reputation already. Like, she's beloved by so many people. She literally was the most followed on Instagram for quite some time. I think she just got surpassed by Selena Gomez. I think that's literally
they the kind only of go back ever. And forth.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. They just switch.
It's crazy, like millions upon millions of people. So,
yeah.
All right. Let me just share a few reactions from announcements, and then we'll get into our two witches. So, Kristen Chenoweth couldn't be happier. The Broadway actress congratulated pop star Ariana Grande on the singer's casting as Glinda in the upcoming Wicked adaptation. Chenoweth, who originated the role, shared a black and white throwback photo of herself and Grande. With Grande's grandmother Marjorie after a performance of Wicked. It is so cute. If you haven't seen it, we'll post it on the Instagram.
Love that photo.
It's beautiful.
Ariana Grande's grandma is named Marjorie.
Also, her grandmother is like Julie Andrews. Like, if you look at that picture, it's giving
what?
It's giving Julie Andrews and Princess Aries.
Taylor Swift's grandma is Marjorie too. I'm sensing a theme.
I love Marjorie. It's a great name.
Marjorie.
Anyway. It's her tweet said, "I'm not sure if I've ever been this proud. From the very first day I met you, swipe to see you were destined for this role. Congratulations, Ariana Grande. The best Glinda you will be with Cynthia Erivo by your side. I love you all." Aww. There's a little fairy, a crown, a wand emoji, of course, pink and green hearts. And she reshared Ariana's tweet from 2011. Love seeing Wicked again. Amazing production. Made me realize again how badly I want to play Glinda at some point in my life. Dream role. Ugh. I mean, that's really, really sweet.
That is so cute.
I mean, John M. Chu was like these two witches. He shared the photos of them finding out together via like a FaceTime or a Skype or a Zoom, something along those lines. They're both like clutching their faces and just so emotional. And he said it was a very emotional moment for him to tell them both that they were our alphabet and Glinda. And he says, Glinda, he made a point to say that for Universal Studios. Wait until you see what they bring. It is otherworldly. Ah, that's his whole reaction. Cynthia shared a photo of pink and green floral arrangement that Grande had sent her with a note that read, "Dear Cynthia, honored doesn't even begin to cover it. I cannot wait to hug you. See you in Oz."
I love that.
So cute. Grande also received flowers from her co-star and Glinda and Alphaba's signature colors and a note that began with, "Pink goes good with green." I mean, so, so sweet. Congratulations, Miss A, Erivo wrote. "This part was made for you. I look forward to sharing this musical journey with you." Idina Menzel is not in this article, but she also was praising the casting of this film. Just very exciting. So it's nice to always see that. I think I said this in our Wicked 20 episode. We so wish the strike was not happening the day of the Wicked 20 celebration on Broadway, because I bet you anything that Cynthia and Ariana would have walked out on that stage. Like, I bet you anything that had to be in consideration. But it just couldn't have happened because of the strike, which we'll get to. Okay, so.
So good.
How do we want to do this, Em? Should we start with Ariana, Cynthia? I'll let you choose.
Let's start with Ariana.
Okay.
Okay.
So, she's like 30 and has done more things than I can. She's
Ariana Grande.
Try to do in 100 years. Like, I don't even know. It's just her.
In 100 years.
Is just, it's full. Like, she has collaborated, it's I feel full. Like, with every single person under the sun. But so let's start with, what's your favorite Ariana Grande song?
Ooh. The one that I listen to a lot is Positions.
Don't know it. Okay, great. I need to make like playlists.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean,
we should have invited my little sister Abby Schrader right now.
She should have come on to this and just been like, okay, here are people. Because you know what? Like, to be honest, I think some like the Oz community, maybe like, you know, just some like more Wicked fans first than Ariana fans, were a little bit like critical of her casting choice, just because that's not what she's known for. If you only know her now. Her performance as Penny Pingleton in Hairspray, in the Hairspray that was televised,
yeah,
it got like mixed reviews. I saw her in 13 on Broadway, which I saw in, I think, like, final previews. Like, it wasn't yet open, but she was.
I love it.
There's a song I love in that show. It goes, "Everything Charlotte says is a lie." She was Charlotte. Ariana Grande was Charlotte.
So she was playing a very Glinda thing.
Even, I know. I was like, even at 15, she was playing a 13-year-old mean girl.
Wait, what's your favorite Ariana song?
I mean, it technically, I guess it doesn't really count. It's a Jessie J song.
Bang, bang. Oh, yeah, Bang Bang. Well, Bang Bang is literally everything. Ariana has collabed, as you said, with everyone that I think.
Everybody under the sun.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Yeah. Save I can't, your tears, like, her
Wikipedia. I was like, oh my God, on here.
That video, was it last year or the year before? Mariah Carey's Christmas thing?
Oh my God, we watched that together. It was 2020.
Jennifer Hudson and Mariah riffing. Y'all, go watch it, please. Oh my God.
I can't do it. Like, I can't do that. I can't do it. I also love when she goes on Jimmy Fallon and she does all the imitations.
Oh, her Wheel of Impressions.
Yeah, Wheel of Impressions.
This woman can impersonate.
She's a gifted mimic. A very gifted mimic. I also like Boys Like You, that song she did with Meghan Trainor. But, like, I'm so like, learning about her. So I'll just admit that.
Well, she has a lot to learn about.
Yeah, she's the most streamed female artist. Female artist. There's a lot of, I mean, accolades she has. I think it says she's broken the Guinness Book of World Records 30 different times in different ways. So I'm like, what does that mean?
Well, she also has a very successful makeup line.
Yes.
That people are really, really into.
I think it's $1 billion makeup
it's
line.
It's truly a very successful makeup line.
Successful operation. She's like a true Glinda.
She is Glinda.
She really is, though, because the activism she also does is paired with the aesthetic part of it that she also celebrates. So it's interesting to see. So just to, before we get into her, Wizard of Oz has always been a part of her life. Like, she truly is an Oz fan. She was obsessed with the movie as a kid. She even, like, if you do think about her vocal DNA, she has hints of Judy Garland in her voice. I think if you took, like, Judy Garland and smashed Mariah Carey and maybe, like, sprinkled a little Lauryn Hill and, like, a little Madonna and maybe, like, some Destiny's Child just to make that, like, fully rap, that's, like, Ariana Grande. You know what I mean?
What a great description.
She has, like, an old school powerhouse voice, but she can also, she's a gymnast. She can do anything.
Riff-tastic.
Four octave range, whistle tones.
I think it's like five or six. Anytime a student asks me about whistle tones, I'm like, here's a video. There's a video of Ariana Grande. It's a compilation.
Yes, I remember this.
Of her, like, hitting whistle tone notes, and whoever made the video puts what note it is. But then there's also just videos she made. She's like in her room, whistle toning. She's literally just like
record. Yeah,
it's insane. It's hilarious. It looks unreal. Like, you're like, is this a real sound? It's amazing.
I do think she's one of. I'm gonna say it. I do think she has one of the greatest voices of, like, our generation. I will
say
she has
an incredible voice.
Yeah. It's
surreal.
Malleable, though, too. Like, you can literally let her shine in all genres.
Yeah.
I read something today. Kristen
makes
Chenoweth,
it look easy.
Kristen Chenoweth did a whole bow down to Shoshana Bean. They recently did a little concert together, and she was like, Shoshana Bean is like, I'm going to butcher it, but she basically said, classic, she said classic, it shows your control, pop shows your freedom, and, like, Shoshana Bean is a master at both of those. She nails both, and I would safely say Ariana is too, and I have a feeling Ariana is, like, a little bit on train, like, I'm sure she's trained, I'm sure she's worked with a million vocal coaches, but this is, like, very gift feeling, you know what
she
I mean?
Has a gift.
She just knows what to do. She knows what to do with that instrument that I don't, like, I'm sure voice teachers help her, but I think her instrument would be what it is no matter what, you know, type of a thing.
She's freaking talented.
I mean, she's regarded as a pop culture icon. She's 30 years old, my friends.
And she's an
icon. Grammy Awards, 1 Brit Award, 1 Bambi Award, 2 Billboard Music Awards, 3 American Music Awards, 9 MTV Video Music Awards, 30 Guinness World Records. She began her career at the age of 15 in the Broadway musical 13. I mean, she was in Florida, where she grew up. She was definitely active in the community theater scene. She was singing the national anthem a ton. So she had a lot of that training. before all this happened. And then from 13, she went into her Nickelodeon career, which would launch her into the public eye in a very specific way. So she first was on, I mean, this is so past my Nickelodeon time. She was on Victorious and then Sam and Cat, which she did with Jeanette McCurdy, who recently that very, like the memoir of all memoirs. I'm glad my mother died. Is that the name of the memoir? I'm Glad My Mother Died.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And she talked a lot about how abusive Nickelodeon was. So I know that was like a whole thing too, that recently has gotten relooked at, just what those child actors on that set specifically had to go through. But I don't know if Ariana's made any comments on that. I actually have no idea.
I don't know.
But
I'm Glad My Mom Died is her.
I'm Glad My Mom Died. Yeah. So she was opposite of Jeanette McCurdy on that television show, which only ran, I think, one season, but apparently like was instrumental to pushing, you know, Ariana into the next stage of her career, which was becoming a recording artist. So where it all started was after the first season of Victorious wrapped on Nickelodeon, Grande wanted to focus on her music career and began working on her debut album in August 2010. She recently had a 10th anniversary also of her Yours Truly album, which is just like amazing that she's already having anniversaries.
I know, she's like happy 10 years.
Yeah, she's only 30 years old. So it says here, to strengthen her vocal range, she began working with vocal coach Eric Vitro. The second season premiered in April 2011. And became the show's highest rated episode. So that's Nickelodeon. And then in May 2011, Grande appeared in Grayson Chance's video for the song On Friend You. That's a lot of her music. Like, I feel like it's like, thank you, next. I want your boyfriend. Like, it's a lot
literally
of
thank you, next. Love that song.
Like, it's that kind of energy. So she was in his video portraying his ex-girlfriend. She made her first musical appearance on the track Give It Up from the Victoria soundtrack. So she's even singing for her Nickelodeon show. And that this is it. She would record herself kind of in the style of Rachel Zegler, who was also very prominent on YouTube before she was hand selected by Steven Spielberg to be in West Side Story. This is the same thing. She did the same kind of stuff. She would do covers by Adele, Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, and she would upload them to YouTube. And the CEO of Republic Records found her videos, was impressed, and that's basically what got everything going. They got her onto a recording contract, and that started everything. She released her first single in 2011, Put Your Hearts Up.
I've never heard that, Put Your Hearts
Up. I mean, also what comes on pretty quickly is in December 2012, Grande collaborated on the single version of Popular Song, a duet with British singer and songwriter Mika. What's Popular Song, Em? Is this our first Wicked
That was from, connection? the 10-year anniversary of the musical, Wicked.
Yes. I guess a little bit. Yeah, it came out at the end of 2012. So just to give a little bit about this music video and this song, it takes the song Popular and turns it on its head. It features a gothic theme being set in a spooky, dark Addams Family-esque high school. The video features product placement for Sony and Mini. Mika uses a Sony Xperia Z to text an invitation for a dinner party to his popular classmates who are bullying him. This is interlaced with scenes of the two brewing a potion in a witch's cauldron and scenes of them falling victim to bullying. Mika and Grande return to Mika's mansion in his talking car, a 2013 Mini Cooper. At the dinner party, the bullies consume their drinks, drugged with the potion, and turn to stone. They are then ruthlessly smashed into pieces by Mika and Grande, with the former using a candlestick and the latter using a food tray. However, the video ends with a twist as Mika and Grande have a toast and the former takes a sip from his drink. The video flashes back to when they two were children and Mika is seen kicking down Grande's castle made of wooden blocks. As Grande glares coldly at him, Mika subsequently turns to stone as well. So this is all her doing. The video then ends with Grande smirking evilly at the camera. The gothic theme of the video and its vengeful nature, as well as the costume worn by Mika as he and Grande are shown cooking, is generally considered reminiscent of the aesthetic and plot of the Stephen Sondheim musical Sweeney Todd, tying back to the musical theater roots of the song established in modifying a song from Wicked. Wild, but it's like her first known Wicked connection, which is just pretty crazy because she really does have a history.
Love that.
So that's pretty early on. And this is when Yours Truly, like you said, comes on out, which you just had the 10th anniversary of.
Yours Truly. I have a fun quick fact for you.
Yeah.
Ariana Grande starred as Snow White in the pantomime-style musical theater production A Snow White Christmas with Neil Patrick Harris at the Pasadena Playhouse. But that version was produced in Hollywood the year before, I believe, with, do you know who as Snow White? Another Wicked icon.
Jeez. A Wicked icon in what way?
She was on our podcast.
She was on our podcast?
Past Elphaba.
Jenny DeNoia, Julia Murray, nope. Lindsay Heather Pierce.
Lindsay Heather Pierce.
Let me name all of them.
Let me name all. I just think that's so cool. Lindsay was Snow White in 2011, and then Ariana played Snow White the next year in the same production.
I've been recast by Ariana Grande. That is wild.
I'm dead. I love it. Congratulations, Lindsay. Like, that's an honor.
I mean, girl is just rising to fame. Like, it's impossible to document all of this. She's winning award after award. She's on the Billboard Top 100. Like, it's just, songs are just exploding out of her. Bang Bang happens with Jessie J. And who else is Bang Bang? It's Nicki Minaj. With Jessie J and Nicki Minaj. My favorite, she's on SNL. She does a song for The Hunger Games. Like, it's just, like, endless.
She performs at the White House.
So this is her, like, what we just kind of hit up on is 2013 to 2015, her Yours Truly and My Everything time. And then we go into 2015 through 2017, Dangerous Woman.
Dangerous Woman. It's
so funny. This seems to be a theme. Like, it's always, you start innocent and then you're like,
actually, I'm dangerous. I love Dangerous Woman.
And this is
Woman.
When she joins The Voice too, right? Like, she starts to become a part of that show.
She's a judge on The Voice.
Oh, no, that happens way later. She comes back to The Voice as a judge. In the 2021, but she starts to do, I think she is on the show.
She's performing. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, she's performing on it. So she starts that relationship.
She was great as a judge.
Yeah, I thought she was wonderful. So relatable and fun, like, on the show.
What I love about her on that show and anytime she's on The Tonight Show, I think she's talked about it. She does this really cute little squinty thing with her eyes.
She can't read.
She really, like, has to wear glasses or contacts. I don't know, but 100%. She talks about it a lot. She's like, I know I do that, but it looks really cute. It's cute.
No,
and
it's like a thing that she does.
She's like, no, I kind of struggle to see, actually.
But we're like, wear contacts, Ariana. Glasses?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the full
story.
She'd
be so cute in glasses. No, it is that. I think I heard something where she said she really struggles to read cue cards. Yeah. She has to memorize everything.
To me, it's just part of her persona.
She's like, no, I don't want to wear glasses. I don't want to wear
contacts.
Yeah,
don't do it.
I think maybe there's some comfort in it for her. Because I actually think I listened to an interview with her talk about this. And I remember this. So I am now legally blind. Like, I literally cannot do anything without my glasses. Like, I have to have them on for everybody's safety. Yeah. But when I was younger, that was not the case. And, like, I would do shows without my glasses. This is before I wore contacts. And I definitely did feel safe, though, in the fact that I could see nothing in the audience. It was just what was right in front of me.
Yeah, maybe it just helps
you
focus.
Puts you in like a blurry world that you're like, okay.
Wow.
It's interesting. There is something comforting about it that I can't quite nail, but I was thinking about that as she was sharing about it.
That's interesting, yeah.
I mean, in this time, she gets to do the title track for the 2017 live action remake of Beauty and the Beast. That's very exciting. She is doing Hairspray Live in 2016. Like we said, that's her first kind of real public attempt at a musical. I actually really enjoyed Hairspray Live. I thought that was a good one. I had a good time watching that. Kristen was so good. But here's the big thing that happens in this time. So on May 22nd, 2017, her concert at Manchester Arena was the target of a suicide bombing. A shrapnel-laden homemade bomb detonated an Islamic extremist as people were leaving their arena. The Manchester Arena bombing caused 22 deaths. It injured hundreds more. She suspended the remainder of her tour. She held a televised benefit concert, One Love Manchester. This is where she is singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow. It's very emotional, helping to raise $23 million to aid the bombing's victims and affected families. The concert featured performances from Grande as well as a slew of other people, including Justin Bieber and Katy Perry and Miley Cyrus. The Manchester City Council named Grande the first honorary citizen of Manchester. mean, this had to be, I read something later too. She suffered from extreme PTSD and anxiety after this.
Traumatizing and tragic.
She almost did not do the Wicked 15 concert because she was really struggling at this time.
Yeah.
That was one of her first big things she would do. I know. I saw that connection. I was like, whoa. But she handled the fact that she used her power, because she does have power. That's like what Wicked is all about too. Using your platforms, using your voices in a way that, you know, sees the people who don't have that. She did that. Like, she really went to bat for the people who were greatly affected by this tragedy.
Thank you.
But she also could have died. Like, that's what's so scary. I know.
That's really scary.
And this is where she exploded in a different way as well. I think people were very like, oh my God, what a story. The fact that something like this can happen at a concert. This is when she shot up in like followings, and her music even took a whole new level of success. I remember being like, she is handling this with such grace. I remember thinking that at the time. I didn't know much about her.
She handled it very human.
Yes. You know? Yes. Agreed. And then we get into 2018, 2019, Sweetener and Thank You Next. Thank
Woo! You These next. Both of these albums are incredible.
I mean, God is a woman. Mother God.
God is a woman. Stop it.
This is when the Wicked Halloween concert happens. We mentioned this before. She sings The Wizard and I. It's spectacular. She's decked out in green. It's a lot of fun. She does a four-part docu-series titled Ariana Grande, Dangerous Woman Diaries. I love a dangerous woman.
I
want to
watch. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we should watch that. Maybe that's a Pod Squad party.
We have a lot to watch.
I was like, a Glinda Dangerous
Woman
Diary.
No, that would be fun. That would be very fun.
It does include moments from the One Love Manchester concert as well in there. So documents that time. She's named Billboard's Woman of the Year in 2018. She headlines Coachella in 2019. Oh my gosh. She is performing with NSYNC, P. Diddy, Nicki Minaj, Justin Bieber. I just like, what? This is so much. It's so much. It's just like,
what?
It's best, like all the words I'm reading are like best selling, Billboard.
Oh, yeah. No,
hit. It's like it's just record keeps going.
Largest streaming. Yeah.
She earned her first Grammy in February 2019. She wouldn't attend the awards because she had a disagreement with the producers over potential performance at the ceremony. She was experiencing a little controversy. When did that whole donut thing happen? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Where that she was, licked the donut? I think a few years earlier, she goes into a – that was so funny. She goes into a donut store. She reaches in the case. She licks
the donut.
She
didn't buy it.
She licks the donuts. She says, America is disgusting. I hate being an American.
She's not in America either, right? She was like somewhere else.
I don't think so. And then she later makes an apology video. She's like, no, I love being an American. I'm so sorry for my bad behavior. She kind of like pokes fun at it later. People spoof it. It's like a whole thing. I mean, how old was she? Like, not that, no one should do that, but who knows? Who knows?
I also think
it's just so weird.
She got also challenged. Like her response also kind of backfired because I think she said something too, like, I just am against obesity, which also.
Yes,
like,
it was about obesity. That's what she said.
Right. That like sparked
a lot
of controversy.
Well, then she, for a while, stopped doing interviews too. Because she was like, I feel like my words are getting twisted and I should just take a breather. But I remember reading about that being like, it reminds me of like Winona Ryder stealing the, what did she steal? Do you remember that? She like stole something from a store, but it was something really small where it was just
it's not a good look. Like it isn't a good
look. It's just a weird
look. Something like that. Yeah. And I'm glad she's like spoofed it and she tried to apologize, but it is just like when some people really do struggle to eat and like someone
else
did that.
You're just licking donuts.
Well, it's like if someone else stole something from a store, they're going to be arrested. Yeah. But like Winona Ryder's not going to be.
No one did
anything. She's not going to be. Yeah. The consequences are also different. So I get why people would be like bummed by that whole thing. But anywho. Yeah.
I have no idea if this was involved with what you're talking about now, but
no, I just was remembering like there was like that moment of controversy with her. I think it was years earlier though. I think it was like 2015.
It was a little bit earlier. Yeah.
A little bit earlier than this. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, she had this controversy with the Grammys, but she ended up earning her first Grammy, Best Pop Vocal Album for Sweetener. She also won a Brit Award for International female solo artist. Wow. Woo. So this is a whole new level. We're almost to 2023. How exciting. In 2019, Forbes ranked her among the highest paid celebrities.
Get it.
Wow.
I believe it. Wow.
That's exciting. And then, okay, so Positions is the one that you mentioned that you love.
I really
right?
love, That's I now. Really like Positions. Yay!
Because now we're 2020 to present. Thank you, Wikipedia, for literally doing eras for
every literal eras.
Thank you so much. Okay, she already, in like the top of January 2020, she's named Female Artist of the Year by iHeartRadio.
They're like, you got it. We don't need it. To Just see keep going. Anymore.
She released a collaboration song with Justin Bieber, Stuck With You.
Stuck With You.
That's
a good one.
They used sales of the song to go to First Responders Children's Foundation in light of the COVID-19 pandemic. So this is all coming out as the pandemic is developing. She released a collaboration with Lady Gaga, another rumored Elphaba for some times. Do you remember that?
Ugh,
Lady Gaga
yeah.
was rumored as Elphaba.
That's a great
for a
collab too.
Yep. Back in the day, like when the first like stirrings of
she
the
been great.
Happening. I mean, yeah. Rain On Me. It's the second single from Gaga's sixth studio album, Chromatica.
Chromatica.
This like broke, oh my God, becoming Grande's fourth number one single and helping Grande break the record for the most number one debuts on that chart. She really is like a superstar. I'm just like astonished.
We're amazed at Ariana.
I'm just amazed. Like does she know she's done all this? Like my brain Girl, can't hold this.
Do you know what you
I don't
have
know
done?
She does. But she released that sixth studio album, Positions, in October of 2020, so when we're very much like still in the lockdown. She became the first artist to have 5 number one debuts on the Hot 100 and the first to have their first 5 number ones debut at the top. Positions became her third number one single in 2020 following Stuck With You and Rain On Me, like we were previously talking about. Making Grande the first artist since Drake to have 3 number one singles in a single calendar year and the first female artist to do so since Rihanna. Is it Rihanna? It's Rihanna, right? Isn't it Rihanna? Didn't people, aren't we saying it wrong? I think we're saying it
It's
wrong.
A whole it's thing, like a whole I think, thing. Where she was like, hey, here's how you actually say it. Same thing with Adele. Adele said something too. She was like, it's actually this. But she was like, it's fine.
Well, Rihanna and Katy Perry, the first one to do that since then. Jesus. And then this, oh my God, that song where she's like, wait, this 34-35 song. Whoa, the lyrics. I listened to that song this morning.
It's a great
I've
song.
Heard this one before.
It's a great song.
It's the highest charting song credited to 3 or more female soloists because it's Doja Cat and Megan Thee Stallion. Since Lady Marmalade in 2001.
Dude, those are both two of my favorite songs.
She's in a film in 2021. Don't
yeah.
Look Up.
Oh,
Meryl
yeah.
Streep's in
yeah.
it. No big deal.
Yep.
Jennifer
yep,
Lawrence
yep,
is
yep.
in it.
I heard
Leah
that
DiCaprio.
Movie is great.
Should watch it.
All right. Add it to the list.
That's when this is the year that I think we saw her do. This is it. Oh, yeah. 2020, Mariah Carey's magical Christmas.
Y'all, please go watch it. It's so good.
Oh, my God. The best. So much fun. We had a good time watching that. Wow. Yeah. Okay. And then we get, of course, at the end of this, it was announced that she'd be playing Glinda at the end of November 2021. So here we are. Amazing. Anything else we want to say on Ariana? Her style is so cool. I was reading a little bit about that just to comment quickly on that. Like she took a lot from Audrey Hepburn when she first started. And then she drew more inspiration from Anne Margaret, Nancy Sinatra, Marilyn Monroe. She started doing the cat eye look and she would wear bunny ears and then started to do oversized looks, making those more in.
The oversized looks are it with the high pony. Give us the high pony.
Oh,
no,
here
I just love her.
Here's the donut drama. It's in her public image thing. It was 20.
What year?
15.
2015. Great. Yeah. Okay. So a little bit before. It's been a time. It's been a time. No, I love her. I personally, you know, not to bring up her like dating personal life, but I loved her and Pete Davidson together.
They were together a minute, not really long.
They were engaged.
Yeah, but it was like 4 months.
I think it was quick, but he does have a line in her song, Thank You Next, which that music video is incredible. Mean Girls references abound.
So it's like a stealing your boyfriend song, like I'm bored. Like, what's that song? You know what I'm talking about?
Break up with your girlfriend.
I'm bored. Because I'm bored.
Yeah. Break up with your girlfriend. I'm bored. It makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. I just love that she's also like been involved in many Wicked, so Glinda, many Wicked projects. Like, this has been a long time coming, as Tay-Tay would say.
But she always has said in interviews, like, when they're like, do you want to be Elphaba or Glinda? She always has said Glinda, which is really cool. She's Glinda.
Yeah, because she could also greatly – well, because she did do The Wizard and I. She sang The Wizard and I.
Her pop voice definitely could suit Elphaba 100%.
Yeah.
My last things I'll say about her is just her, like, I mean, you said her beautiful makeup line and fragrance, all of that stuff. That's like a whole other rabbit hole. Like, we could literally spend, I think, a whole month talking about Ariana Grande. Clearly, like, there's just so much to look at here. And all I looked at today was Tale as Old as Time, her singing with John Legend. And that was mesmerizing. And her with Doja Cat and Megan Thee Stallion. Like, literally, like, I love Megan. Some pool.
Yes.
What is the lyric? It's like, F me in the morning. I was like, what? I was like, I love it. I was like, what is, I don't know what I'm taking in. I'm like,
I just, love her so much.
Cause I'll be
what
honest.
Am I, like, what am I taking in?
Ariana's not what I gravitate towards, but I'm so down. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I love let's her. Go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think a lot of people, what I'll listen to on my they own do, type of thing.
Yeah. A lot of people might be like, oh, I'm not going to listen to her. She's not my style. But then, she has bop after bop after bop, and she's just a good time to listen to, and her voice is insane, so and she has all these great collabs. Like, she's a great performer. So, I'm so excited for her to be Glinda. I'm excited for her, too. Suits the role. At first, I was a little like, oh, interesting. Okay.
I wasn't 100%
on board, but I was like, she's 70%. Ariana Grande because I Same. Get – she's literally the most followed person on Instagram. Like, that goes with Glinda. And she has high soprano notes. Like, she has the Kristen Chenoweth notes, you know?
That's where I was speaking up for her, because I think there was some criticism being like, she's a pop singer.
She can't sing that. It's like, no. No, she has.
She's a pop singer because she knows how to
golden voice.
She knows how to make affectations with her voice. Like, she's such a vocal machine. Powerhouse. That I was like, no.
She's
like,
gonna
the vocals,
do a good job.
That's not what we should be concerned about.
No. The last thing you should be concerned about is Ariana Grande's vocals.
I think we're going to be surprised in her acting. I really do. I know some people were not like the biggest fans of her Patty Pingleton, which is honestly a tricky role.
That was a while ago too.
It was a while ago, and she was young. And like,
she's also Ariana Grande, and she's playing like a nerd. She's not a nerd.
That's the you just nailed it. Like, that's like, honestly what it is.
Seriously, like the coolest girl ever, and she's like, I'm shy and embarrassed, and it's like, I don't know.
I don't buy that.
That's where I'm like, play Glinda. Not that, you know, that's what acting is, but like, I don't know. I think that worked against her.
I think it did too. I think you're right. It's like they put glasses on her and we're like, we see behind
They literally were like, yeah. It was like that movie. What's that movie where he just like, all the movies, they take off the girl's glasses.
It's
and they're
Wicked.
Like, oh, you're gorgeous.
It's yeah, Wicked. Right. It literally isn't Wicked. So just the last thing I'll Good say times. About her is just her philanthropy and activism. I'm so impressed. She's been so active from a very young age in just raising money for different causes. Let me highlight some. After she watched the film Blackfish in 2013, she urged fans to stop supporting SeaWorld. So, and here's the thing. We've been saying this with like Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, like all these like, you know, celebrities that have massive platforms, if they encourage people to do things, people do them.
People listen.
Like, it is like, people really do listen. I think there's like proven stats that if Taylor Swift says who to vote for in this election,
no, literally,
it will go to that person.
The last time, like thousands upon thousands of people registered to vote.
That's insane.
In Tennessee, I think it was.
That's literally insane. So she participated at the Charitable Stand Up to Cancer television program. She was urging fans to stop supporting SeaWorld, helping people out who are affected by HIV and AIDS, helping people without housing and LGBT youths with different events. Definitely a big, a major icon in the gay community. Oh, wow. As a feminist, Grande wrote a well-received, empowering essay on Twitter decrying the double standard and misogyny in the focus of the press on female musicians' relationships and sex lives instead of their value as an individual. She noted that she has more to talk about concerning her music and accomplishments rather than her romantic relationships. I mean, that is That is like the biggest thing for our female celebrities. That's the plight of every
female artist.
To call out. Like, it makes me want to vomit watching that Star Search clip of Britney Spears being asked, like, at like what, how old is she? she's nine. Romantically interested in, and she's like literally a kid. And that little boy, is it what's his face?
Marty Thomas.
It's Marty Thomas. He's not asked any of those things. It's like, look at how
she's literally like eight.
Drew Barrymore too. When she was a kid on all these shows for ET, they did the same thing to her, and it's like
she's like what? Six.
How do we not see this?
There's a great video I stumbled upon recently. It's from a while ago, but Rihanna, bringing her back, it's like they're on a panel for some movie, and this interviewer is like, it seems like you're doing really well in your career, blah, blah, blah. Like, you seem so happy. So has that carried over into your dating life with, I forget the person who they were saying she was dating. And the whole time Rihanna's like smiling, like listening to the question. And then once the interviewer brings up, like, are you dating this person? She's like, what a disappointing question. And then the person like in charge of the panel is like, we should move on. Right. She's like, it's such good audio. People use it on like Instagram reels and stuff. That's the Eartha Kitt one. Question.
Yeah. Like the Eartha Kitt one, when she laughs and they're like, when they ask her about like having, I forget what the question is, and she just laughs about, like, it's so poorly worded about how
so
she needs a man in her life, like some stupid question.
It was,
and
the
she
same
literally
thing.
Cackles. It's the best thing I've ever seen.
I just loved Rihanna's comeback. What a disappointing question. So good.
Scarlett Johansson has had to do that. Tale as old as time for her. Yeah, she did a lot of concerts. Also, Ariana did a lot of concerts for Charlottesville after the white nationalist rally. Happened just for those victims. A lot also in the pandemic, donating between $500 to $1,000 to fans in need of financial support. Wow. That's crazy. Amazing. That's wild. That's amazing and so kind. Like I told you, they donated a lot, her and Justin Bieber, with the proceeds from their collaboration together to help out people affected by the global pandemic, the frontline workers. She also was a voice against the murder of George Floyd. She was active on social media for that. And she's supporting all businesses that she was going to that were not owned. She's supporting a lot of businesses that were owned by Black people on her Instagram. So just like trying to use, I guess, her platform for good. So there's so much more, but this is just a nice little look into the activism work she's also doing with all of her music and just following her dreams. Like, my guess is she's probably always just wanted to sing and make people happy. And I think she's accomplished that. That'd be my guess. She's like, if you can boil it down. So Ariana,
she's not from New York, but like, she's from Florida, but like moved to New York to be on Broadway when she was what, like 13, like
15 and 13.
Insane.
Yeah, she's had.
I love her. I'm a big fan.
I would love to talk to her. She feels like, I feel like we could have a good conversation with her. Like, I just feel that energy. You know how you could just trust some things inside of you? It's like, she wouldn't make me nervous, even though
she
seems couldn't,
like a good vibe.
I couldn't even try to articulate her career. Like, I couldn't even attempt to, because it's still ongoing and it's so massive that it feels insane to look at, because it's like stat after stat. But I do feel like we could sit down and like be laughing and be talking about, like, I don't know, like everyday human things rather than like all the
well, I think the fact too that she's like a Broadway theater lover, her love for Kristen Chenoweth, like, I think that makes her feel like, oh, she like loves the things we love. We could talk to her about that, you know.
Okay, I feel that. Yeah,
we love Ariana.
Oz Fashionistas, are you looking for the perfect set of Oz PJs?
Or maybe you need a warm gingham bathrobe that feels like you're being wrapped in a soft blanket of poppies themselves?
Or you need to up your green and pink flannel game and festive evasion of our rival witches in Oz?
Well, no matter what your comfy and cozy demand is this winter, our friends at Cakeworthy got you in their new release of Wizard of Oz apparel and other accessories.
Not only does Cakeworthy got you in mesh tops, crew neck sweaters, and AOP tees, oh my, they also have available bedroom sheet sets in any size. office Oz in Post-its and notebooks, and a new clear poppy bag ideal to pass through concert security. And the quality receives an A+ from Down the YBP.
Cakeworthy is a fashion label not designing cakes since 2014, but rather unisex streetwear apparel and accessories for anyone with a taste for sprinkling some fun into their wardrobe. They collaborate with some of the world's top licensors to create special edition collections inspired by the things we all love. Bright colors, bold prints and graphics, pop culture, 80s and 90s nostalgia, and the clothes we always wanted as a kid. So, of course, their Oz collection is top-notch and unlike any others.
Visit Cakeworthy at the link in our show notes to snag your new winter Oz pieces while they last.
Well, shall we talk about our queen, Cynthia Erivo?
Mm-hmm. I'm bowing down.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm excited. Cynthia was born. She's a January baby, such as myself. Born 1987. She was born in Stockwell, London, in England. Get it?
1987 is a good year, baby.
Come on, 87. Her parents are Nigerian. Her mother is a nurse. Get it? Love it.
Love it.
She pursued a music psychology degree in London, which is super cool. But then she transferred to the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art. She started out in British television programs. So I'm not going to know what they are. But British listeners, if you're a fan, let us know. Chewing Gum and The Tunnel. Mm-hmm. And then she transitioned to some stage roles, some play. Yep, that's the show. Some plays. Her first musical role was in John Adams and June Jordan's I Was Looking at the Ceiling and Then I Saw the Sky. I also am not aware of that production, but I love it. I'm
That's
learning.
Like On a Clear Day You Can See Forever.
I know. Nice long title for you. And now here we go. Here is, I feel like, the start of the journey. In 2013, she played the role of Celie Harris in, I'm probably going to pronounce this incorrectly, the Meniere Chocolate Factory production of The Color Purple.
I think it's Meniere. Am I wrong on that?
Meniere? I'll take that.
I've heard Meniere. It a bunch. Okay. I'm not sure.
Okay. Sounds cool. Before that, she was Dolores Van Cotier in a UK tour of our favorite musical, Sister Act.
I can't imagine her singing all that stuff.
Oh my gosh, it'd be insane. I want to see her.
I want to hear her Fabulous Baby.
Are there any like bootlegs? Mm-hmm. Have we seen any? Okay. I need to look it up. I
watched them a while ago. They're very fun. She's great. And she's so young. Okay. She's a very young Dolores.
Yeah, she's a baby. This was like 10 years ago plus.
Yeah, like probably 25.
It's like mid-20s. Yeah. Wow. That's wild. She originated the role of Shanice in the West End musical I Can't Sing at the London Palladium in 2014. She starred in the European premiere of Dessa Rose in London in 2014. She was nominated as Best Leading Actress in a Musical at the 2015 Broadway World UK Awards. And here we go. She made her Broadway debut in the 2015 Broadway revival Transfer of The Color Purple, reprising her role as Celie Harris alongside Jennifer Hudson, Danielle Brooks. This is at the Bernard B. Jacobs Theater. Every time I pass by that theater, I think of The Color Purple. And she won the 2016 Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical for this role.
That was a big year, too. That was the Hamilton year.
Big year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I
think that was the first year
please
that
go
all,
watch.
The all the actors who won were people of color for the Tony Awards. I think that was the first time.
Oh, yeah.
That ever happened.
I think you're right. I think I remember that.
Yeah, because Danielle Brooks won, right?
Danielle Brooks, Cynthia,
it was Danielle
Leslie.
And Cynthia. And D.B. Diggs.
D.B. Diggs, yeah. So cool. That was epic. Love that. A few other highlights. She starred alongside Joshua Henry in a one-night benefit concert performance of Jason Robert Brown's The Last 5 Years. Ariana has her Jason Robert Brown connection. So here we go. Here's JRB.
And that was 2016. With Jennifer Hudson, too. Just.
Oh, my gosh. Jennifer ties them together.
We have lots of connections. Yeah.
That's very, very true. I love that. Jennifer, cameo in the Wicked movie.
I don't know about that.
I'm starting a petition. February 2017 at the 59th Grammy Awards, she performed God Only Knows alongside John Legend. That was the In Memoriam tribute.
Yep.
Arriva, alongside the cast of The Color Purple, nominated for a Daytime Emmy Award for their performance on NBC's The Today Show in 2016. And then in 2018, she starts to get into her film career. She makes her film debut in Bad Times at the El Royale, which I never saw, but I heard it was great. She got really good reviews.
Noir, a thriller film.
Yeah, a thriller film. And then she played the title role in Harriet, a biographical film about American abolitionist Harriet Tubman.
I need to see this. I need to see this.
I know it was on my list.
It's been on my list. Yeah, it's been on my list.
It's like, of course I have to watch this. It's Cynthia. Come on. But her performance earned her a nomination for the Golden Globe Award for Best Actress in a Motion Picture Drama. And she received a second nomination for Best Original Song for a song she co-wrote and performed for the film entitled Stand Up. Wow. She also, in 2020, was nominated for Academy Award for Best Actress for her portrayal of Harriet, and the other for Best Original Song for Stand Up. That's pretty cool. 2020, she's starring in the HBO miniseries The Outsider, adaptation of Stephen King's novel of the same name. That same year, she launches a production company named Edith's Daughter. She signed a deal with media company MRC to develop television projects. She's appearing in more films. She portrays Aretha Franklin in the third season of Genius in 2021. She's releasing music. She's on the jury of the Venice International Film Festival.
This girl is on fire.
She is on fire. I love this.
She's also just like casually the blue fairy in the Pinocchio.
I know. I just saw that. She's the blue fairy in Disney. Yeah, that was 2022. She's in
just like popping
live
up
action
everywhere.
Disney film. Yep. 2023, she's in Luther, the Fallen Son. And then her Wikipedia ends with, she's set to portray Elphaba in a two-part film adaptation of the musical Wicked. Wow.
And she identifies as queer and bisexual.
Love it.
Which is also just awesome to
That's
have.
That's awesome.
Have our Elphaba be all of who Cynthia is just magic.
Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, big fan of Cynthia. I can't wait.
I don't know why, but I feel like her and Meghan Markle should do something together. Why do I think that? Like, Meghan Markle needs to have Cynthia on her podcast. Has that happened?
I could see that. Cynthia's one of those performers that I just want to listen to speak as well.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Like a lot
I feel
of
like
depth.
They have a good conversation. Though, I'm not going to lie. That. Meghan Markle's podcast, I didn't know what I was listening to. I feel like didn't we try listening to it together?
Oh, yeah, we tried listening. What episode was that?
I don't know. We just thought they were talking about like a lot of elite privilege problems, which was a little tricky. I think we had that. We were like,
yeah. And we were then just like, sure.
Not and relating. Then like, we didn't understand how they were answering the questions she was posing. We were like, wait, what? I don't see
I
the question.
I forget who we were listening to, but I remember us, really having that feeling of like, I'm not relating to this, but
right.
Maybe I'm not, am I
supposed
like, to?
Maybe if I was in a different circle, I would guess.
Yeah, this would work better. Totally.
But I'm always rooting for Meghan Markle. I am always rooting for her.
Yeah.
All right, back to our Wicked movie timeline. So also at the time of the witch casting being revealed, there is a petition that is organized on change.org for James Corden to not be in this film. Just hilarious. But this
that
is
makes
also
me
at kind the of time.
Sad.
Well, no, I don't think so, because he's also been known to be very, like, I think, unkind to people. That's why I think this started.
I
like,
didn't
he was
know that.
In every
what?
Movie musical, right? Like, he was getting in every movie musical under the sun. And there was, like, some stuff coming out, like, a little bit along the lines of Ellen, like, a little bit in that ballpark.
Oh, no.
Of just, like, he's actually not that kind to everyday
regular
people.
Okay, well, if that's
people.
There, I thought it was just people being, like, we're sick of him, which I get.
I think it was a mix. I think it was a mix, but there were some rumors about him coming on out. But who knows? I don't know if those rumors are true, but I do know how a person treats a service worker reveals everything you need to know about that person. Yes.
100%.
So Just putting that out there. I'm unsure, though, about what that story was. But that petition is just very silly and very funny. And then also around this time, the fall of 2021, there was a casting call that Telsey put out. Telsey casts Wicked on Broadway and also is a part of the film casting, that they were specifically seeking a wheelchair user for Nessa Rose, which was very exciting to see because, as we've discussed on the pod, Nessa has never actually been played by a wheelchair user. It's usually always been an able-bodied actor, especially since we know the blocking of the show. Nessa does usually stand on stage. So this is a very exciting, correct representation choice for the movie to be doing. Yay. Also, okay, now we're going to fast forward about a year because it's going to be the fall of 2022 where everything is going to start for filming and all coming the other together. Casting is going to start being revealed. The first big reveal is in September 2022 when John M. Chu, the director, confirms that the Bridgerton star, Jonathan Bailey, is joining the cast as Fiero, the main love interest in the musical. He wrote, "He's perfect. They're perfect. They'd be perfect together. Born to be forever." I'm too excited to pretend this hasn't been happening. We have a Fiero. Hashtag Jonathan Bailey.
I'm obsessed with John M. Chu. He's like living his musical theater childhood dreams.
I know. He's like, I'm quoting lyrics. I'm giving you messages from the AIM days. Like, it's so good. It's so good.
Have you seen Bridgerton?
Of course. I saw season one of Bridgerton. I mean, I find him very steamy. Also to know he has a musical background. He was in Company. He was in Company on the West End. Yeah, he has a musical background. Cool. You didn't watch Bridgerton? You missed the moment?
I tried one episode and I couldn't get into it.
I mean, Patrick.
I loved Julie Andrews.
Patrick is so mad that we committed to the whole first season, third roommate Patrick. He's just like, this was the biggest waste of time. I will say, I think it's fun, but I didn't love the ending. I thought it was a cop out. Like how they like, the lady, what is her name? Lady Whistledown. I don't remember what her name was.
Lady Whistledown.
That's not even right. I don't even know.
Don't know.
But I didn't love the reveal of that. It was not for me. Okay. But Jonathan Bailey was the whole second season. That was all on him. So that's cool.
I'm
still a fan of Bridgerton the Musical. The Unauthorized.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I have listened to that. Yes.
So good.
100.
Okay. October 2022, we are also getting some rumors that Jeff Goldblum is in final talks to play the Wizard, and Eminem's campaign for Andre DeShields dies.
So sad. On board. I really wanted
Andre DeShields, but I love Jeff.
That would have been epic.
I just wanted him with Sydney.
I do love Jeff.
I wanted him singing
Wonderful.
That
would have been incredible. That would have just been such a cool homage. I know. I do love Jeff. I'm a Jurassic Park girly. So come on, Jeff. Welcome. Let's do it.
He's like Tom Hanks ballpark. I'm just like, yeah, he could do no wrong in a film. Like,
yeah, you're going to be great. I'm not mad.
Around this time, too, in December 22, there's Michelle Yeoh is also in talks to play Madame Morrible. This is very exciting. There was a lot of rumors about Hannah Waddingham, right? That was like a big thing for a second.
Amazing.
Everyone thought it was going to be her.
I know. She would have been great, too.
Should have been great too. See, this is the thing. There's too many choices.
There's too many good choices. I bet it came down to a lot of like people's availability too, you know.
But it's Wicked, you clear your life. When Oz says it's being made with a big budget, you say,
The first director was like, bye, I'm busy.
He said, I have things to do. You're right.
I have things to do.
I think it was during a March 2023 appearance that it would officially be confirmed by Goldblum himself on Jimmy Kimmel that he would be doing The Wizard. We had the official confirmation from Michelle Yao also happen in May, I believe, at a film festival in Japan. She said, I'm trying something new right now, filming John Chu's Wicked movie, which will be my first musical. Welcome.
Oh my gosh, get it.
I mean, she's fresh off an Academy Award. She is one of the most captivating performers I've ever witnessed.
She's incredible. You will love her in Crazy Rich Asians.
Everywhere, all at once. That movie is one of the most unusual, groundbreaking, like just a completely new format of film I've ever seen in her performance. is like the soul of it. I mean, it's the soul of the whole thing. She's so great. I'm another so excited thing on my to list. See her, to see what she does. Another, yeah, added to yes! the list. And I'm excited to see how she's going to poison up Madame Morrible.
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited.
She's very good at that, because she's, not to spoil in Crazy Rich Asians, she's not a villain, but she is like the parent of the boyfriend who is kind of like not really behind their relationship at the beginning. And so she does, she's a little bit of a villain. She has villain energy, but she's also so like, you want her to like you so bad. So I feel like she's going to play this role perfectly.
Differently.
Kind of a similar energy.
Different standard. I think she's going to create a new way to look at Morrible, which I'm really, really excited about. Now, to rewind back a little bit to, I believe it's December 2022. This is when the supporting cast is starting to pop on off. If Em, if you want to pick up here with anything that you deep dived on. Also, this is when Ari's hair goes to blonde, is in December
2022. Ari dyed her hair! That was so exciting. We all were like, oh my God, it's happening. So the previously announced cast includes SpongeBob SquarePants, the musical star, Ethan Slater as Bach, Broadway actor, Marissa Bodhi as Nessa Rose, Bowen Yang as Fanny Piffany.
I listened to his podcast yesterday for the first time.
What'd you think? Did you love it?
I was cackling, walking down my street.
No, it's by myself. It is laugh out loud. It is. They are laugh out loud. They kind of remind, not to be like we're amazing, but their friendship kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, no, I felt that.
Okay,
I was like, I feel like we could be nice, like a nice little, a date would go well. That's what I'm trying to say.
A double date would go well.
Really?
I agree. Big fan. They also, I know, we're amazing. We're basically Las Culturistas.
I basically feel it would go really well.
No, they've been friends for like 10, 15 years, something crazy. Like they are,
you could feel that.
They are really, yeah. They also talked about the Wicked 20th anniversary too. So, that's a great episode. Back in the day. A month or two ago.
I got a back catalog.
Yeah, it's great.
I got a back catalog.
You turned into Jennifer Coolidge, as we often do.
Sometimes it happens.
Back to this.
I'm okay with it. Wait, not to off-road, but have you ever seen Ariana Grande's impersonation of Jennifer Coolidge?
Oh, yes.
She's perfect.
That her closing her eyes thing works great for that.
Oh, it's perfect. She really should be on SNL. Maybe that should be next for her.
Ariana would be incredible. Are you saying Ariana or Jennifer?
Oh, both. But Ariana, because she could do impersonations like up the wazoo.
I know. I feel like she's like in the Kristen Wiig territory of impressions and like kookiness.
And kookiness.
Incredible. And kookiness. All right. Bowen Yang is Fanny. Bronwyn James as Shen Shen. Keala Settle as Miss Caudle, who we don't know who that is, but I'm very excited to find out. We're not aware. Don't know.
I'm not aware, but here's where I get a little, this is that Miss Caudle thing just goes, why? I'm like, we named her anything from the book. There's like lots of cool names
there's
from the
literally,
book. Would have been a nice.
Yeah.
Miss Caudle. They're like, no, we must create.
Maybe
a
there's a whole story. That is kind of funny. We've talked about this where it's like, why do you have to create a whole new character when there's like a million other characters you could literally choose from?
It's okay.
We don't know.
We don't know.
But I do love Keala. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. Aaron Teo as Averick, and Colin
Averick,
Michael
welcome
Carmichael.
Back.
Well, see, there's Averick. Averick's back. And Professor Nicky Dick is Colin Michael Carmichael.
That's very interesting, like, that Nicky Dick is featured. That's very interesting.
Nicky Dick is announced as like a person.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
What if Dr. Dillamond is Stephen Schwartz voicing?
Stop it.
What do you think? What do you think about those apples?
I would cry because I love him so much.
Heard it's a puppet,
I
correct?
I really love him.
We know it's like going to be like CGI puppet magic.
I think we've heard, yeah. If it was Stephen Schwartz, that'd be so cool. I'm here for it.
Okay.
I'm here for it.
Who else Let's could it be? It. No one else.
I mean, Idina teased. She put a goat, like, and didn't she put like a goat emoji into something?
Yeah, the Idina teaser comments. Like
she was like, maybe
goat emoji in a comment section. She's like, go. We know it's not Kristen Chenoweth, as revealed on the Andy Cohen show.
She's going to petition against Dr. Dillamond even being in the movie. She's going to be like, how dare he?
I know, I think I've talked about this before, but we did post that for fun just because it's so ridiculous. But people really do take it seriously. They're like, Kristen's Dr. Dillamond. I was like, people get upset at her. It's not like real hate.
It's not like she's actually upset about it.
She's
just
in a bit with Andy Cohen.
It's a bit. Andy Cohen brings out your pettiest petty. Come on.
Correct.
Well, I just have two. I have some quick little rabbit holes. Obviously, later in later seasons, we'll talk about these people more. But I do love Bowen Yang. He was on Seth Meyers. And for those who don't know, he is on Saturday Night Live. But here's a quick quote, because he was talking about being in the Wicked film. He said, "The second time I ever came to New York, the first time I went into Manhattan was 2005. Wicked had just come out. I was obsessed with it. I begged my parents to buy tickets. It was the hottest ticket in town. We couldn't go. So I was like, can we at least drive up to the Gershwin Theater so I can press my face up against the glass? And so we went. It was the most pathetic sight."
I love it.
He truly was just like, this carpet right there that I see in the lobby leads to the stage.
Listen,
so
I touch the Gershwin when I walk by. I get it. I touch it for good luck.
Yeah.
I'm like, thank you so much.
It's so good. So he said it's a full circle moment for him. So instead of seeing Wicked that day, his parents and him took an NBC studio tour, which is where, at Rockefeller Center, where SNL takes place. And he said, this isn't as cool as Wicked. Which now he literally works there. So
that's
hilarious.
Amazing.
It's a great interview. And he talks about how the choreography is really tricky. And like, he's not a dancer. And there's a couple other people who don't identify as like dancers, but they're doing their best. And then I also wanted to shout out Keala Settle, because I just love her. She's so cool. Broadway actress, Hands on a Hard Body, waitress, Greatest Showman fame. This Is Me. That's her. Solo in Seasons of Love from Rent. Oh, yeah. Because she loves Greatest Showman.
She loves Greatest Showman. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she made her West End debut. I always love to shout that out from American actors. West End debut in Anne Juliet for a 3-month run.
Oh, fun.
Which is pretty cool. I just love her. I'm very excited and interested in Miss Cottle.
Miss Cottle is a mystery. Is she a professor? Is she a village witch?
Yeah. Who could she be?
She's giving Professor Trelawney vibes.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. I hope she just belts something at some point.
I don't know. If they don't use her instrument, what's the point? She's an amazing actress,
but
like, why? She's in Wicked, which is all high belting. So please
give
her something.
This is her.
Maybe she's the midwife, Miss Cottle. I don't know.
I was going to say, yeah, did they rename
her?
Like,
I don't know.
She has a name now. Okay.
She should have a name.
Yeah, she's come on, don't just refer to her as her job title.
Cool. I wonder if she's going to be an animal, Miss Cottle. We also don't know that, a capital A animal.
That'd be interesting.
We don't know how they're going to do that concept at all. Like, that's actually really fascinating to think about.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not sure. Well, last person I just wanted to very quickly shout out, Marissa Bode. I think I was saying it wrong, Bode, but her Instagram, she kind of like spells it out for you. Marissa Bode, who is I don't know how old she is. She's a lot younger. And she is a wheelchair user. And her Instagram is really fun. She posts videos of her pranking her parents. And... those highlight things from the month where it's the most random photos ever. And I just love it. Her Instagram's really fun. So definitely go visit.
Yay. Okay.
Yay, Marissa.
So that was a very exciting month, was December 2022, when all this casting was being revealed. And then things really started to explode in terms of sneaky drones getting pictures of the set in April 2023, leaks happening of audios. Things went wild. So we started to see photos of the outdoor sets when they started to transition out of the studio. They're actually filming where they filmed Return to Oz, Elstree Studios.
I know. So I thought that. I was like, what?
Oz has been made here before. I think that's a good omen. The coolest thing, I think, I liked out of what I saw from the Munchkinland sets were the Wanted Wicked Witch posters, which I think is cool. So I think, I wonder if they're going to do like more in Munchkinland than in Emerald City. Cause it looks like that's like where Thank Goodness maybe would happen if we're going to see like, you know, the after Defying Gravity aftermath. It's interesting. So that was pretty cool getting to see those posters, all the propaganda, the anti-propaganda against Elphaba. Getting the first looks, those two photos that dropped that are very far away shots of Cynthia They're and so Ariana pretty. In motion. We're guessing it's a Defying Gravity shot that came out for Cynthia and most likely a Going Into For Good in Kiamiko shot for Ariana Grande in her a pink dress. I mean, that was also pink. A big reveal. She's not in the blue dress. They're going back to the Billie Burke pink, but also their own kind of like twist and take on it. More of a bright pink. More of like a Wicked pink, I guess, like the pink we associate with
Wicked pink, Linda
of Wicked. Yes. We know that they have also gone to, I think, Norfolk to shoot a lot of outdoor scenes, including tulips, I guess, poppy, whatever it might be, that they've been doing a lot of. Let me say this again. They've been filming there as well. We also heard in I believe it's around this time, like as more and more is coming out and things are going up, being taken down. There's a lot, like it's almost like daily gay panic for everybody. Just watching all of this, heart palpitations.
My God.
But I think it's around this time that Cynthia's quoted talking in an interview about how there are elements of the Wicked book coming back into the movie, which like that's what I'm the most curious about, because we were lied to with Oz the Great and Powerful. Those creators definitely said People that, but they did not deliver on it. So I'm curious to see how much of Gregory Maguire's book they do implement back in, because it's just such a different tone than the musical. That's my biggest question mark, is how what from the book that was not already put in to the musical is coming back. So that's my biggest question mark. So this is all happening. And then July 2023, of course, we have the strike, the actor strike, the writer strike happening. That's going to put a hold on our production. So let me just read a little bit about this. So this is a Playbill article from July 19th, 2023. John M. Chu shares Wicked film update. SAG-AFTRA WGA strikes should not affect release dates. So this came out pretty quickly. Breathe a sigh of relief, Ozzers. Ozzers. It's Ozzians,
Ozzers.
Playbill. Ozzers. Playbill, get it together.
Ozzers.
Get it together. You can continue eagerly anticipating the upcoming two-part big screen Wicked movie while still supporting the SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes. Director John M. Chu tweeted July 19th that when the SAG after strike started July 13th, they were just days away from finishing Wicked filming before wrapping. So here is his quote. It's been very painful to put a halt to it all, but we will be back and we will finish properly strong when the time is right. The director goes on to indicate that he will be spending the strike starting the editing process. In the meantime, I'm excited to excavate what we have shot for the past year here in Oz. And then in an interview with Variety, Stephen Schwartz is quoted to saying, he is, of course, sharing his support for SAG-AFTRA and WGA. And he says, I am not a WGA member, but I think what they are asking for is legitimate and justified. Same for SAG. It's just stuff that has to be addressed. I totally think they're in the right. So therefore, I can't be too angry about the inconvenience of a strike on my particular project. The good news for us is that we've been shooting for almost 8 months. So they've got a lot. And that means there's stuff to work on. Amazing. So those were the comments. So we were kind of given a nice, like, everything's okay no matter what is going to happen with the strike timeline. And then, of course, the strike just finished just about a month ago, which is very exciting. So Wicked is going to pick up their filming. So they're completing their schedule. They're just doing like pickup shots, like anything that they need to just finalize the whole filming part of the film. That's going to happen at the top of January. So they are almost at completion. Like it's happening. It's all going forward. Wow.
That's so exciting.
I mean, there's so much. Like, I feel like,
there again, is so
shouting
much.
Out our friend Tori at the Ozvlog for doing such a fantastic job and really breaking down all the news coming out. We do know Ariana Grande and Ethan Slater are in a relationship, who he's playing Bach. So that's been a whole thing to witness. I think they went to Disneyland together, which, yes, that's fun.
Get it.
So yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to
there is a lot going on. Follow.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm honestly glad it's two parts. I know Steven talked a lot about that in a couple of interviews. Yes. Like, Defying Gravity was specifically written to bring the curtain down. It didn't make sense to try to fit all of this into one film. And I do know he mentioned that there will be two new songs, but they were written to add to the plot and kind of fully flesh a few things out, and that they both are in the second movie. So I don't think we'll see too much new music in the first movie. Steven said it would be in the second.
Yes, I did skip a couple of things. Thank you for saying what you said. I skipped that was released in April 2022, that it would become a two-part film. That was verified. So what John M. Chu said on The Split, he said, as we prepared the production over the last year, it became impossible to wrestle the story of Wicked into a single film without doing some real damage to it. As we tried to cut songs or trim characters, those decisions began to feel like fatal compromises to the source material that has entertained us all for so many years. We decided to give ourselves a bigger canvas and make not just one Wicked movie, but two. With more space, we can tell the story of Wicked as it was meant to be told, while bringing even more depth and surprise to the journeys for these beloved characters. So that was John M. Chu's quote there. The other thing I forgot to bring on up, this is when Cynthia and Ariana, I think, were in some interviews, June 2022, and this is when they talked about Gregory's book is coming on back, and production was lightly beginning. Principal photography would not begin till November 2022, but the teaser poster came out, and it was just the W, the, like, it looks like an energy drink. It looks like the Monster energy drink flipped upside down. Not that that's like a bad thing, but it's just like a very striking green fiery W.
Green fire. Yeah, sure.
Misty. But it is giving energy drink. It is giving.
It's giving energy. Come on, Monster energy.
And when I saw Steven at the library, he was wearing exclusive Wicked movie merch.
Stop it. How do we get our hands on it?
I could have ripped it off if I should have done it.
You could have. Why didn't you?
I've done it.
Forever banned. Restraining order from Steven Torres. I love this. I have one last quote from Steven that I think is where my headspace is as we sort of wrap up today's episode and what I want to go into the film with. From a Variety article, he says, fans expecting a carbon copy of the Broadway show should steel themselves for a new experience. Quote, there are things that work on stage that won't work on film. In order to do the something producers. That will work on its own merits, you have to do something different. The only 100%. Concern is people who would be coming expecting to see a filmed version of the play. They're not going to see that. And I think that's just something to like keep in our brains. It's its own sort of like... Yeah, it's its own film version of Wicked, which is beautiful.
You don't want it to translate completely. Look at the producers. That did not work. When they took the movie – sorry, I can say this again. When they took the musical with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick and just kind of slapped it onto film Yeah, like it really wasn't many changes. It was jarring. It didn't work.
Yeah.
It just didn't work.
They're different mediums. Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. So, I'm excited to get like a different take and more things fleshed out and to get to, I'm like, I want to see Shiz. I want to see more of Shiz than walking around Shiz.
Like this is going to be more of like a 3D experience too, I feel.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yay.
We did it. Wicked movie. So our season is definitely not leaving Wicked anytime soon. In our next episode, we're going to recap this entire season. So stay tuned for that.
And highs and lows. Sneak
peeks of where we're headed next. In the meantime, enter our giveaway. Woo!
Woo!
Yay!
And
we'll see you soon.
We'll see you then.
Thank you so much for listening to Down the Yellow Brick Pod. We love linking arms with listeners like you.
Another special thank you to our Patreon Pod Squad members who have become our Bellina soup for the soul. you get it, and Oz family all across the globe, consider joining us for as low as $3 a month. Patreon linked in show notes. More tiers and perks coming soon.
You can also find us over on IG at Down the Yellow Brick Pod, and someday TikTok, and dropping Good Trouble Witch merch like it's hot on our Etsy shop. All links below. Shout out to our logo designer, Maddie Frank, for helping us make Oz nerddom fashion.
We'd like to dedicate this season to the late, great co-host Drew of the neighboring podcast of Slippers and Spindles, whose fairy tale enthusiasm always inspired ours. Blessed to have connected on Oz and Wicked, and to have known you, Drew.
And lastly, if you are feeling the pod and haven't already, consider leaving us an Apple review. It truly makes our day. Each review also equals an entry into our big blowout end of the season giveaway. You won't want to miss this one, which will be completely swankified.
As always, all previous reviews will also be considered in our entries. We got you, boo.
See you over the rainbow soon.
In a clock tick.